for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is Wednesday morning, October the 25th, 2006. Jim Landry is the speaker of this service, teaching on the seductive trap of passivity and slothfulness.
Brother Jim, rest of the morning cheers until 10:30.
Morning, Body of Christ. Several weeks ago when Pastor Chris, and I did get his name right, I'm working on some soul ties there, asked me to share on the seductive trap of passivity and slothfulness. I was taking it all after facing two devastating hurricanes, death of my mother, a loss of our church, financial woes into the thousands of dollars repairing five pieces of property. I just thought I wasn't a qualified person to talk about passivity. And I told that to my wife, and then it dawned on me this would prompt a study to get some deliverance in my life. So, would you forgive me if I appear as a teacher today and stay with my notes for the sake of time? And there's a saying, preach to the choir. It's just where everything I'm going to say you already know. So, hopefully, something that will be said might be able to help us with our congregation, those that we counsel with and minister to. But I'm certain that for sure, most of the information you have already and are already familiar with. Several years ago, this booklet I wrote that God gave me on the spirit of slothfulness was a result of my slothfulness. It was not any judgment I had made against another. And then maybe I'll share a few minutes down into the word on my own personal testimony. I try not to do anything that doesn't come out of my own experience. As ministers of the gospel, we should preach what we have lived. And the topic, the seductive trap, passivity, and slothfulness, and I pray to open up with some basic foundational tools that may help us, those are the lives that we are ministering to. And then at the latter end of the message, perhaps expose what I consider to be a major principality working in passivity in authority. In Lamentations, the third chapter, excuse me, I'm having a problem finding it for some reason. Well, it should be right there. Right, yeah, right after this, the crying prophet. I kept spinning right by it so many times. There we go. All right, the third chapter, verse 40. The scripture says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for self-examination this morning. Perhaps we may find this principality working in our own life, in our own hearts. As pastors and leaders, God, we pray for those in our congregations and those under our authorities, that we might understand the operation of this principality, that we might set the captives free. We pray, Heavenly Father, in this morning's message, that you are glorified, and that you are glorified through each of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. One of the primary causes of demonic oppression gaining a foothold in spirit-filled believers, we're speaking about spirit-filled believers, is passivity. I believe believers are very much open to infiltration when they fulfill the conditions upon which evil spirits work. Apart from willful sin, another area that the enemy has promoted through deception is a surrender. The surrender of our faculties. There's a surrender of faculties doctrines. And through this misconception of the spiritual laws which govern the Christian life, many believers have become demonized. And I'll explain more from my own personal opinion in a moment. Now, most of us would agree, and I think we should all agree, that known sin provides the enemy with legal grounds, and even unknown sin. But do we realize that every thought suggested, and then is received by us in our mind by the wicked spirits, is given ground to them, and that every faculty that's unused invites their use of it. The primary cause of deception and demonic infiltration in surrendered believers, passivity. The believer who surrenders his members or faculties to God and ceases to use them himself falls into passivity, which gives the evil spirits right to deceive and to demonize any part that's not in use. There's such deceptions over passive surrender in many segments of the Pentecostal movement. Many of them teach, do nothing, let God do it all, including praying in tongues, prophesying, and these are basic ministries of all believers which have been corrupted by this principality. I can remember particularly as I started out in ministry as a believer, my first experiences were in a Pentecostal group. And I don't remember a lot of things that were said or told to me, but I do remember one little 7-8-year-old boy telling me why I still had facial hair. And so anyway, that sort of narrows down where I was. And if we had a desire to fulfill Scripture and pray in tongues, it was considered to be a manifestation of the Holy Ghost with power. And everybody there had to get around you and woo you, because you're not supposed to do that unless it was God doing it. If you had the ability to do it, it was the devil. So you may say that in my very early onset of my Christian experience was filled with passivity. So I might have a double load of passivity when you hear the rest of some of my testimony. You're not going to be able to get it all today. Many believers that were delivered from backgrounds after salvation of cults and the occult, martial arts, and other works may have difficulties with passivity. You may not know it because your zeal to work, your aggressive ministries. I'm speaking to those that you're counseling, those that you're ministering to, those that are leadership under your authority in your congregations. I know that I did. And when the Lord showed me that I was passive in a particular area, I denied that I heard His word. I know His voice, and I know when He speaks. And sometimes I don't respond quickly, but I knew it was Him, but I just told Him, no, frankly, it can't be you. And He began to share with me that I was slothful in my job. In other words, that I was just existing in my job. I was just a part of the team, but I wasn't taking any positions of leadership. That doesn't mean I had to be a supervisor or anything like that, of which I purposely turned down. But it simply means that I wasn't a team player. I was just there for the ride. In most companies where you have large masses of men and women working together, we tend to designate the cook, designate who's going to pick up the mail, designate who's going to sweep, and it doesn't matter if you get paid the same thing as we. So I found myself always being designated as the cook, designated as a cleanup detail person, or pick up mail, even though I was qualified to do the same work that anybody else would do. And I just fell into that trap. Another area where I had... Oh, incidentally, I had all the issues from the cults because of my overseas tour of duty, because of my background in the martial arts, and because of the occultic background of my forefathers. Another area that I had a problem with was fear of confrontation. And I could go to a restaurant, my wife would tell you, and those that know me well, I'm kind of like Chris. I live my experiences as a living epistle amongst those that I lead. Sometimes that has not been very profitable. And so I'm just what you get kind of person. And but anyway, I'm the kind of person would go to a restaurant and we would all order our meals, and the waitress would bring the wrong meal to me. And if it was marginally in my price range, it doesn't matter. If I didn't eat Mexican food, I would eat it. I just didn't want a confrontation, didn't want an argument, want to keep the peace. I'm not the same person anymore. Recently, we was at a new restaurant in our city, and they brought all the food out, and it was all wrong, and it was all cold. And so I just went on, started eating, you know, and just whatever, you know. And they say, well, how about yours? Is yours so-and-so? I say, yeah. Well, we're going to do something about it. I said, I think it's a great idea. Let's do something about it. And I raised my hand up so the manager came. And I said, listen, I got my granddaughter, my daughter, my wife. We all eating here. And this is what we got. And he checked it all. He said, oh, I'm so sorry. He said, we're not like that. You know, I am so sorry. He said, let me pay for everything. I said, no, we come here to eat. Not for you to pay for it. I said, I want to pay for it. I said, I just want what we ordered, you know. And he said, well, let me order you all new food and stuff like that. And I'd really have to pay for it because we're just not that type of restaurant. I said, oh, no. I said, no. I said, I can't allow that. You know, I'm real funny about those things, particularly in front of my grandchildren. You know, I don't want them to get over attitude, you know. And And so then he kept on talking. He wouldn't leave. He stayed there and pressed and pressed. And, of course, now I'm talking instead of my wife doing all the talking, which is really unusual. And he said, well, let me tell you what, can I meet you halfway? I say, I'll meet you halfway. So I paid half of the bill. It was over $100-some. And so that's a big change in my life. Field confrontation was real unique with my life, being that about 3, 4, 5 years ago, I was in one of the semesters of Bible college. And my the counselor that was teaching the course on Christian counseling for 12 weeks asked us to think about what is our biggest issue. I said, whoa, I like that word, issue. And so just for a moment there, I thought what it is. And I said, people really don't know this, but I really have a fear of confrontation. You know, I'll let you win. And so I wrote it down. I mean, I'm the oldest person in the class. I'm the one that asked, when the professors were out of town, they would tell me, I walk into school and the secretary said, Pastor, they said you're in charge tonight. And so I had to write that down just like the rest of the students and our profiles. And so I said, wonder what she's going to do with this, you know, who else going to know this, you know. So I was honest, I wrote it down. Then she said, close it up. She said, now over the next 12 weeks, every week you're to find scripture that relates to your condition and begin to mitigate, begin to get restored by God's word concerning your condition. Well, I said, well, that's a good plan. I said, I like that. So for the next 12 weeks, I began to study scriptures. Each week when I came to class, I was ready and had done my homework each week to grow, to be delivered from that issue of fear of confrontation. And I did. But the only problem was that Monday night in the 12th week, when I was to appear before class with my final paper, it was supposed to have in there, how did it get in? Of course, get in is our understanding. How did I arrive at that problem? Was the college issue, okay? And so I didn't know. I really didn't know. So what I was doing while I was at work, I was sitting at my computer about 9 o'clock that morning. I remember because a guy that was doing my job, which, in other words, he got promoted, you know, was stepped up in my place, was walking around. I know he was a little finicky because I'm on the computer. He knew I was doing a Bible study or something. So anyway, he walked around real finicky. I trained him, so whatever. Anyway, so he walked around there, and I'm up there, and I'm saying, Lord, I'm praying, Lord, how did it get in? I said, I'm free now. I feel like I'm delivered. I feel like I understand, but how did it get in? And then the Lord told me at 9 o'clock that morning, he said, when you were a little infant, a child, a man was breaking into your home, and your mother protecting us from the person that was breaking into our home in the neighborhood that night, or early that morning. I don't know if I remember, night or morning. I would say probably late evening, late night. Because I don't remember. She's not allowed to talk to her about that now. But anyway, when it happened, we ran frantic. All we know is she grabbed a gun, and we heard gunshots go pow, pow, pow. And the person was hit. And the ambulance had to come get him. And I can remember my brother and I, back in those days, toys were made out of metal objects. Like, you would have a rocket, but that rocket was heavy. Now you can be sued for that. So I remember grabbing this rocket, like, what am I going to do? I'm 5 years old. You know, what am I going to do? And it set the stage for a fear of confrontation in my life. And so the Holy Spirit showed me on the 12th week, after 12 weeks of faithfully studying how to get delivered from fear of confrontation. Many years before, I had been laying in my bed, seeking the Lord, not looking for anything particular, but just abasing in His glory. And I found a little booklet, and I can't remember who I loaned it to or where I hid it. I would have think that I probably hid it from myself, because it's so precious. And it was a little book, real small, about the half size of this, dealt with spirit, and I just thinking Jesse Penn Lewis, but I'm just not sure, but it dealt with passivity. And I was reading it, and I remember telling my wife, I said, that's me! Well, I had come out of a cult group, you know, Jesus only, and we just wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I had come out of there, even though I wasn't there 6 or 7 months, but I had been there long enough to take on some good things and some bad things. The anti-traditional messages were very good and sustained me to this day. But the other stuff was bondage, and I've been getting some deliverance unto this day. So as you can see, that I was definitely wrong when the Lord came to me early that day and told me that I was passive in the area of my life. I couldn't see it because as aggressive as I was, the seminars, the traveling, the training, the ministries, it just didn't line up. So we have to open our hearts up to God and let God show us if there's areas in our life where we're passive and we need to be delivered from passivity. We don't need to take on the attitude where we just surrender our faculties for non-use. In Mark, the third chapter of Mark, let's look at this miracle of Jesus. Mark, the third chapter, verse 1. The scripture says, "And Jesus entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there with a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he said unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill?
But they held their peace.
And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." I can remember clearly an individual that was coming to the fellowship, having some difficulties, and he had a congenital birth defect with a withered hand after 6 months of birth. And at one particular time in praise and worship and ministry of healing, I asked him to come up. And as he came up, I reached out to him, as the scripture says, and I told him to reach forth his hand. And then I began to minister healing in the name of the Lord, and his hand straightened up. It actually straightened. He was surprised himself. He looked at it. I don't know. After a moment, I guess he looked at it, and he just didn't want to believe it. And then he fell down on the floor. And then when he fell down on the floor, his hand curved back in. And then I reached down. I looked him in his eyes real quickly. The demon says, "As long as I got this, I got him." And he had been accustomed to living with this deformity for so long, it become passive to become active minded and accept that God was able to deliver him. I wish I could give you some more testimony on this, but his life did not bear fruit at that season, and I would hope that maybe in this season it has. The Lord did not stretch out this man's withered hand. The man himself had to act. In other words, he had to have an active mind. Now, passivity describes the opposite condition to activity, the loss of self-control in the sense of a person controlling each or all of the departments of his personal being. The chief condition, therefore, for the working of evil spirits in believers, apart from sin, is passivity. God requires a cooperation with his spirit and the full use of every faculty of the whole man. Now, the powers of darkness aim at obtaining a passive slave or captive to their will, while God chooses a regenerated man, intelligently, actively willing and choosing and doing his will in liberation of spirit, soul, and body from slavery. There are many additional doors that this principality has gained entry into individual lives, and I won't be able to share a lot of it and go into a lot of detail with different strategies of the enemy in this hour, but some very familiar doors before and after salvation is sexual abuse, child abuse, physical abuses. And one is so common, I had no clue until I was in New York last year teaching a whole community of psychological abusers or spousal abusers in the church. I had no idea it was that widespread. And then there's religious abuses, in which I suffered. Now, these and many more can produce the fruit of passivity in his victims, along with rejection, insecurity, inferiority, fear of man, just a number of principalities come on board a person that's going through these traumatic abuses. How will we, as soldiers of the Lord, be able to help these individuals if we have not been a first partaker of the fruits of deliverance? So many ministries and so many ministers today are in denial when it comes to passivity. I, for one, I know I was. In Ephesians, the sixth chapter, we want to look at some tools that can be used to overcome the trap of passivity and slothfulness. In Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole word, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, this word wiles here speaks of a number of devilish strategies that Satan will use to introduce passivity to God's people. Schemes, devices, strategies, methods, plans, plots, just a number of ways that Satan will use to introduce passivity to the congregation. However, we as deliverance workers must not allow our commissions to set the captives free blind us from studying God's Word daily, from spending time meditating in God's Word and what it said, and what we read. In fact, in Isaiah 26:3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind stayeth upon thee, because he trusted in thee." If study and meditation is not done, it's like gumping down food and not digesting it. But God wants us to desire His His word like food. In other words, it is the true all you can eat. He wants us to chew on it and to digest it with the enlightenment of the Holy as the Holy Scriptures will enlighten us, will provide to us. And so we have to become good students of the Word of God, searching the Word of God. You have to fall in love with the Word of God. Another two in Matthew, the 17th chapter, prayer and fasting. I don't know about you, but many of you have been here throughout the years. You've heard Chris teach on a number of ways that God has impressed him to pray and fast. I've done all of them, every one he said, and recently. So we have to hear God's has given us, and we need to adhere to it. And in Matthew, the 17th chapter, verse 14, it says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy upon my son, for he is a lunatic and so vexed, and oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water." Lots of suicide tendencies here. "And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the demon. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth out not but by prayer and fasting." What I've experienced over the years, particularly in my own life, I don't know if you've had any difficulty with fasting, particularly after you've walked in the Lord for 15 or 20 years. We tend to, wasn't a big deal when we first started out, but now it's a discipline. When we first started out, we just couldn't wait to drop the plate. But what I've experienced is that many times as deliverance workers, we can get so consumed with our commissions that we don't discipline ourselves in prayer and fasting. We exchange the permission by saying we are doing the work of God. So we don't have time anymore. And I, for one, did that. It doesn't work. It's not profitable. And you lose more in trying to retain what you've lost. It's very difficult to get it back. It takes longer. You have to work through that rebellion. But since the days of the apostles, there have been countless thousands who were not able to bear these words of Jesus. And even some copyists have omitted the "and fasting" from their manuscripts. So religious leaders who omit the major consecration fast block a vital Christian truth. The full formula of Jesus is prayer and fasting. Amen? You might be surprised at the degree of passivity operating within the church, particularly in the leadership and, unfortunately, within the ranks of God's army deliverers. There are far too many workers of the Lord that are passive when it comes to submission to God's delegated authorities. You might say my passivity towards my leadership was rooted in my fear of confrontation. You might say that as I look back, and I was speaking with my first pastor, who's deceased now, probably 10 years, and speaking with his wife a few weeks ago, we were kind of laughing how her husband would get in my face and say, "Tell me what to do and how to do it." And I'd be saying, "No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it." It's something simple as, "Here's the money for the gas for the bus when you pick up the people." "No, God, I got it. And he said, "Take the money, Jim." You know, all kind of little things like that. And she was saying, "Yes, Jim, you know, he knew you had a great work coming ahead of you. He was trying to train you." I said, "Well, yes, ma'am, I see that now." And then after his decease, he had introduced me to Pastor Harlan Dean. And so it was very easy for the transition. I too, like Chris, had the same experience where I was so Pentecostal, I couldn't believe that I had a cold. Something was wrong. So I went to him that day with the cold, and he laid hands on me, and he came against python, voodoo, and witchcraft. I believe that's what the three spirits were. And it changed my life. I remember coming by on a Tuesday night, you know, you have so much pride, you want to testify, and you can't even talk because you're so hoarse, because the demon's coming out, and you don't matter, you just want to talk. Then I would look at him just like I looked at the previous pastor, and I've judged him based on how I judged my dad. But for something, there was something in me, because one thing that my dad, my granddad, and leadership I had been under were, they were not runners. They didn't escape. They just dealt with you. And so God at least had that instilled in me to stay with it and stick it through. And I'm going to cover what part of it that we may have the ability to part from maybe leadership if they're not proper. And so thank God for that. That was rooted in me not to run away from issues, even though I couldn't deal with them. And so then when I found out that Brother Dean really did love me, you know, then it was okay, because I was okay with the discipline anyway. You know, but remember, most of my discipline in my mind was thinking that I deserved it in another way because of the abuses and the problems I went through in life. Until God could root that out, then I could really understand the love of a pastor. Some of us have missed that mentoring process, and I was so passive there, didn't have a clue.
Ooh.
In Romans, the 13th chapter, verse 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, or the governing authorities, for there is no authority but of God. The authorities that be are ordained of God. Whomsoever therefore resisteth the authority, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves judgment." Each of us, as soldiers in the army of the Lord, bear the responsibility to be submissive to God's delegated authorities and His authority figures in our world. Let me tell you something about submission. In submission, we lose our opinions. That doesn't mean that we're not prompted and we don't have a prompting within us to want to challenge or issue our opinion about something. But testings and trials will teach you to hold your mouth closed. But there are many that you are pastoring and in leadership with are full of opinions. I suggest you do like we did. I'm going to say 2 years, but it was 1 year in two different churches teaching 30 months. I developed a Bible course on a spiritual authority from Watchman Nee's book, and it had 20 tests and over 30 weeks, and I taught it at two congregations in 1 year. And I got two different answers from both congregations that I pastored when I asked them something as simple as, if you were going to minister at a conference and you had met the leader of this conference at another conference over the last several years, off and on, you had coffee together, and he told you that he wants you to come in 3 months to teach on salvation, and they're experiencing a tremendous amount of youth revival and growth in the church, and this is your first time coming to his facility, and you said, okay. He picks you up at the airport a day before because he wants you to give you some scenic view of the city because transformation, territorial warfare, or whatever. Maybe to go out to eat. And at the dinner table, he says to you, "Brother Ed, God had never done this to me before, and I can't believe it, but I know I told you what we needed. He showed me this morning you need to teach on Revelation." So I asked them at both churches where I was local and where I was distant. And that's the difference of authority. I've done everything I can to install a pastor. I can't get one to take a step up the plate. I said, "Are you afraid of me? What's the deal?" the answers came. I do it, but I won't know why. I spent 3 months studying this. Who does he think he is? I mean, preparation. Then the other ones I went through, every one of them said, "I just do it. I just obey." I said, my God, it was a whole difference in where I pastored at and where I was temporary pastoring. Total difference. And then I really saw the importance of authority. Pertaining to God's authority figures in the land, we should be submissive unless their rulings conflict with our Christian experience. And if it conflicts with our Christian experience, then we should be willing to die, no different than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did when they were cast into the fiery furnace. And I just walk around to all the churches, knock on the doors, and say, "We need to get together and march down City Hall." I've seen that the martyr's death has lived a lot longer than a few people that sent out a petition. Well, just look at Jesus. It is also God's command for each of us to submit to his spiritual authorities, for no man can be an authority who has not faithfully submitted to authority.
Where is he going?
In Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 12, the Word of God says, "And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" The Bible teaches unconditional submission to authorities. But the Bible does not teach unconditional obedience. Let me explain. Submission deals with attitude, and obedience deals with fulfillment of what we've been told. The only time, and I want to emphasize, the only exception which we are not to obey authorities is when they tell us to do something that directly contradicts God's word has stated. In other words, we are released from obedience only when leaders tell us to sin, specifically, okay? And even in those cases, we ought to be humble and have a submitted attitude, even if you depart, okay? I'm not talking about we won't obey, or we don't like the pastor because we didn't agree with what he said or didn't say, or because we were falsely disciplined for something we didn't do, because they don't teach enough about deliverance. I remember this teacher once said that her pastor in a new facility, and this person had been given the authority to remodel and redecorate their office. They were going to get an office. And it was a very nice office, what I understand, because eventually it became a place where they can come and eat. So it must have been a pretty big office. And after they had totally furnished it, out of their money, of course, fixed it up, and they had an office, then the pastor walked in there and said, I'm removing you out of here. We're going to use this here now as our area for our social gatherings. And this person said they copped an attitude. Who does he think he is? He gave me this office. I didn't put all this furniture. I spent all this time decorating it up. And now he tells me to go down the hall to another little office, and he's going to turn this into a gathering room. Then this person realized what they were doing and what they had said. I have practiced this, of what I'm about to tell you, myself personally, and did it intentionally. And some have departed as a result of it, I'm certain. Not that many, I'm certain. Another individual was falsely accused by an individual in the church. Pastor brought them both into the office, and the one that was blabbing what the person had done, And then the one that was accused says, "But I didn't do none of those things. That's not true." And then the pastor rebuked the one that was falsely accused, chastised that one, administered correction to that one, and told the other one to dismiss. And this individual asked the pastor, "Well, Pastor, you know I didn't do that. Why did you do that?" He said, "Because that's what you needed, and God's got a work for you to the nations, and that person's not going to mount anything." Well, I wouldn't probably say that. But that's what was told. God's got a way of rooting out the passivityness out of our lives. His ways are not our ways. People, your attitude towards submission to authority will more than likely determine the degree of authority in your individual commissions. God is pleased with submission that leads to true obedience. People, passivity is a forbidden fruit of independent ministers who reject God's commandments pertaining to authority. They have become passive towards leadership, serving without divine order, serving without authority. As we look at this issue globally, and this is why we're here, we're pastors and leaders from around the country. We have some real issues out there globally on anti-submissiveness. But looking at this issue globally, many ministries throughout the country and abroad are operating independently. In this season, there's a movement, and I've been watching this for a couple of years now, amongst many independent ministers design credibility and confirmation for their ministries. The doors have been opened to these ministries by many of the megachurch that you see on television. The passive towards submission groups will look for ministries they can become affiliated with that will not correct them, won't discipline them, or take a personal interest in what they're doing locally. Simply send in your $100 annual license renewal and attend an annual conference for the organization's group. We're interested in the numbers. The leaders of these works are being sought out for licensing and ordination by hundreds watching television, by others in attendance from around the nation and abroad. And I know personally in our community, some who display their ministry affiliations where all may see. And yet I don't believe the governing authorities of these megaworks grant association to many if they were aware of their doctrines and their personal agendas. Now, God's going to hold many of these ministries providing this covering accountable. For where there is no mentorship, you won't get any discipleship. There are two types of, let me put it like this. These types of groups are a camping ground for the recruitment of the passive towards leadership bunch who desire to become affiliated with some highly visible spiritual movement. I believe there is an attempt by Satan in this season to destroy God's plan of mentorship. Satan is introducing a network marketer's approach to the minister's accountability. In the network marketer's approach, it might go something like this, or this rebellion might go something like this. Join and become a part of XYZ Ministries International. We share God's vision, and you control your destinies. We provide the helps that will make your ministry successful. And people, I believe this is Amway, not God's way. But this is where they're going. And I happen to know some of the pioneers of some of the larger groups today personally. I will be with them in a few months. They'll be teaching with us somewhere in Beaumont, whatever. But anyway, I'm not going to cover that now. But I have the friendship of the lawyer who started Cliff O'Dowd's work, the man who started his ministry. They had about 9 people. Of course, he got kicked out after they built up the thousands. And I know there's a lot more going on where people are being driven into passivity, point of having their tithes deducted out of their checking accounts mandatorily.
Yeah.
I hear some yes out there. Somebody else must know what I know. So it's a big picture out there that's going on where the church is being, an evolution of passivity is being introduced into the church, a passive surrender that we may not readily identify while we work with the souls of men. Now, most of us over the last 5 or 10 years have saw the faith movement for the good part of it and the part that's not good. And we're beginning to notice why some people that we're ministering to are not getting free is because they have certain kenites or spirits that still need to be delivered from their lives before they can reach the next degree of light. So we're starting to, in other words, progressively grow to a degree where we're able to see beyond the flesh and some of the issues that the people that are coming to us. Well, this is another degree of light that we need to be aware of from those that will come to us for help. Many are assisting these independents ministries while building their pyramids and their towers of Babylon. I can only wonder what will be the characteristics of the next generation of ministers who themselves develop their ministries without mentors. Which authorities will they follow? I see a passive bunch out there. If we don't do something about it, we have a tremendous responsibility. Now, there are two types of authority, the authority of God and the principle of satanic rebellion. Men and women of God healing and ministering and healing and deliverance ought not to underestimate God when it comes to his delegated authorities. Unfortunately, as many of you have already observed, there are far too many deliverance workers serving in this global war independently, and very few have mentors. We have a lot that want to come visit us on Friday night, deliverance night at our homes and various places, and they want to be the first to put the hand on the back of somebody while you're praying for them and want to be part of the team, but they have no ministerial alliance. They have where they are. Every comment about it is negative. So they are trying to sow their tares into your wheat, into your spiritual gardens. But they want to show up on Friday night, help you lay hands on Sister So-and-so. So we have a lot of independents out there, and we're going to have to start doing something about it. We're going to have to start raining on some of their parades. If you really love them, you're going to correct them. My pastor loved me. He corrected me. So I've corrected quite a few, and they just distanced themselves from me. I still love them. They still love me, but they know what they don't know what it is. They just think I'll be mad at them. I just said, no, sit down, Rob. I got to talk to you. I had a meeting just recently. I mean, they just totally misunderstood. At the end, they all apologized. I said, we just thought you meant something else. And then one of the elders stood up and said, well, that goes you to show. Pastor did not say all the things we said. He just said one thing, and we all went off in another city. And so then we went out and to the elder's house and had supper. It was just wonderful. And so when it was time for healing, I said, come on, let's pray. I say, and what a wonderful time for God to move while we all been broken. I mean, I was one that was really distraught because I couldn't believe they said it because they missed it. I said, but it was all demonic, you know. But I would not have resisted having a healing line that day. That's the time to move, you know, not when you're all cocky. Incidentally, by cockiness, I was here in September, and I was preparing to teach the next day, and I felt too comfortable. I don't like that. I mean, there's times where the message is a little bit more, I can deliver more exciting maybe or something like that, but this is not the time right now in my life, so this is very difficult because I know I'm talking to a lot of pastors and stuff, and I'm kind of hitting at the deliverance workers too. Anyway, for the sake of time, let me go ahead and share some more about this independence. Lucifer, intent on setting his throne or his authority above the throne of God, was the thing which violated God's authority. It was the principle of self-exaltation, principle of independence. And so the act of sinning was not the cause of Satan's fall. That act was but a product of his rebellion against authority. It was rebellion with God, which God condemned. Self-exaltation, independence, is a major seductive trap being used by evil spirits of passivity. Now, each of us have a responsibility of training the soldiers under our authority to be accountable. We have that responsibility. It should be a part of their discipleship training, and we should never just get excited because we have a few workers willing to learn how to cast out demons. And this is where I was. We had such an influx of people from many, many churches, Methodists, Baptists, Catholics. You know, when you have a lot of activity, you have a lot of activity. When you have little activity, you have little activity. So when we step up activity, after about 3 or 4 weeks, activity steps up. So anyway, in the early years, I mean, just, you know, wide open. I really want to get back there as soon as we get back in the facility. More than you can imagine, it's just been a real battle there for the last year with the storm damage. But anyway, in the early years, I didn't preach a lot about accountability. Just whatever you want to do, have your way. And everybody, oh, Brother Jim, don't mind. I could hear the comments being made by some of the young men and women in the congregation. And so I injured them in their early years. And their concept of leadership and their concept of authority was predicated upon the authority's gift or the authority's money or the authority's ministry or its outreach. And so they became glory seekers and what the man could do. And I haven't been able to break them of that, those that I still have fellowship with today. And I'm doing everything I can. And the first thing is for myself to become broken. And so the Lord had to work with me first so that they can see the change in my life. So in the early years, you might say, I introduced passivity to accountability in many of the leadership that I trained and mentored in the early years, but not so now. Not so now. Trust me. In Matthew, the 7th chapter of Matthew, verse 21, the scripture says, "Not everyone said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many," and I do want to capitalize many, "will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name we cast out demons? And in your name we've done wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Ye depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now notice what they practice, iniquity or lawlessness. In other words, they have a lifestyle that's similar to those in the parable of the wedding. They have developed a pattern of placing their agendas, their pleasures, or their plans before the commandments of God. They do not live out their confession of submission to His Lordship. They obey what fits in with their plans. They are passive, unaware, many, many that are deceived, passive and unaware to their present lawlessness and iniquity. People, this is the state of many Christians today. Many are missing God's design for their ministry and accepting the lie of Satan and pursuing their desires, and missing their destinies. The scriptures make it clear that in verse 22 that many will say, many. And because a worker's ministry functions in prophesying, casting out evil spirits, and doing many wonderful works, and it sounds like a part of the balance of ministry that you and I work in. In fact, this scripture should electrify us to the point that it's really talking about us, or at least it talks about those that do what we do. So we need to be attentive to at least what we do by others or by ourselves. Because the ministry functions in prophesying, casting out evil spirits, and doing wonderful works, does not mean that they have an endorsement from God qualifying them as leadership. But many think so. So they break away and start a little church because they can cast out a few demons or start a little work. It doesn't mean that their ministries are covered. Doesn't mean that their ministries are uncovered. Jesus said to beware in this chapter of false prophets, and he said that you would know them by their fruit. Being passive concerning our ministry's accountability to God's delegated leadership is without question a forbidden fruit. I believe it's treason, and those that won't repent of this sin may very well hear from God, "I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." I don't want to be in that number, but it could very well happen because I'm already part of that same ministry. So it's just worth thinking about, at least if you're just in denial about it or if you're not a victim of it. I know that I was, and it could have went a long time, or it could have went until the Lord came back for me without me ever knowing this, and I could have stood before Him. He could have said those very words to me. In Watchman Nee's book on spiritual authority, I know that we should have a few up here, he makes a statement, "Before a man can subject himself to God's delegated authority, he must first meet God's inherent authority. Our entire relationship with God is regulated by whether or not we have met authority. And if we have, then we shall encounter authority everywhere. And being thus restrained by God, we can begin to be used by Him." Watchman Nee, spiritual authority. Meeting authority everywhere. When you got up this morning, got out of your room, that probably wouldn't be a good example. Let's say when you left your homes, coming here, every one of you had to stop at a stop sign or stop at a red light. Some of you are familiar with, in the mornings, the school crossing of the guards. And we have to adhere to the laws of our land. And so we meet authority everywhere. And until a man has met authority, he cannot understand authority, the authority of God. This seduction is so widespread, and yet many eyes and ears are closed to this principality that's infiltrating the special forces of the Lord. I'm talking about His deliverance workers. Every worker of the Lord must have their own road to Damascus experience. And too many that have got into the battle, too many that are wanting to join with you and I to become deliverers, have not had a road to Damascus experience. And you will find that's not dealt with, that they will be a great hindrance to the ministry in latter days. Every worker must have a road to Damascus experience. We must all meet authority, for at passivity and slothfulness, very roots is the anti-submissive nature. Now, there's so much you can share about this, but I want to destroy some of the strange fire that may be amongst us, assuming that there might be some here. Hopefully that's some of my testimony. I pondered and pondered for a couple of days on the Lord bringing to my remembrance a number of the testimonies in my own life, and He did. I was surprised He did in this hour. He did bring back a lot of things that I had some issues with passivity with. What I'd like to do now, for those of you that like to participate, I would lead you through a prayer of deliverance. And we'll come against some of the imps that deal with passivity and slowfulness. Amen?
Amen.
Would you repeat after me? Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I come to you boldly.
I come to you boldly.
To your throne of grace.
To your throne of grace.
Today and ask for your wall of fire.
Today and ask for your wall of fire.
Your blood covering.
Your blood covering.
Your shield of faith.
Shield of faith.
Hedge of thorns.
Hedge of thorns.
To be over and around about this property.
Be over and around about this property.
All those present.
All those present.
Their immediate. And extended family members. Wherever they may be.
Their
personal properties.
Their
family pets.
Their
family pets.
I ask you
to send your host
of
protective,
warring,
restraining,
and
ministering angels to fill this place overflowing. To link themselves around.
About this property.
And to seal off with the blood of the Lamb
all access
through which Satan
and his
cohorts
can draw strength.
In Jesus' name,
we bind
all the princes of the power
of the air
assigned
to
everyone
in this room.
We cut off
and
sever all lines of communication. To every area of our minds.
We
cancel their assignments. Today.
I
put on the full armor
of God.
In Jesus' name.
I now ask
that the full power
of
the anointing of the Holy Spirit
be loosed upon me.
Your counselors.
Your
pastors.
Leadership.
Elders. Believers.
So that the gifts
can work through us
diversely
as you see fit.
Discernment.
Word of knowledge.
Word of wisdom.
Discernment of spirits.
Miracles.
And all the powers of God
that are
available to me
through your word.
In Jesus' name.
I bind the following strong
men
and all of the underlying spirits.
I bind all ruling spirits.
Fear,
doubt,
and
unbelief.
I bind violence,
fighting,
murder,
rage,
anger,
and
hostility.
I bind error,
Antichrist,
and religious spirits.
I bind divination,
witchcraft,
witchcraft
control,
and mind control.
I bind the occult mind control spirits
and all unclean spirits.
I bind all the doorkeeper spirits,
familiar spirits,
or spirit guides.
Bind all blocking spirits,
hindering spirits,
or
free demons
that
would attempt
to
cause problems
or
block
and
hinder this session.
In Jesus' name,
I bind,
break your powers,
command you to be immobilized,
inoperable,
and silent.
Dear Lord,
I believe in the whole scripture truth,
the whole of God's
revealed will,
and all that is sacrifice
provided.
All that his high priesthood
covers.
I confess
that
my redemption
is complete
and Satan's
dominion
over me
is ended.
I rebuke
and renounce him
as a liar
and
a false god.
I forsake all allegiance to
him.
I worship the Lord,
my God.
And him only
will I serve.
I confess
and
repent of my own sins
and
ask you to forgive
me.
Now, Lord,
according to
Leviticus 26:40,
Nehemiah
1,
Daniel 9,
I confess
and
repent of
and
ask for forgiveness
for
the sins of my parents,
sins of my
ancestors.
I also ask
that you would forgive me, and cause
my seed
to forgive me
if
I have perpetrated
any
generational
curses.
I do this
so
the power of these curses
can
be broken over me and
my family line.
In Jesus' name
and
by His blood.
I now take
the sword of the Spirit,
which
is the Word of God,
and
I go back to Adam and
Eve
on both sides of my family,
and
I cut,
sever,
loose myself,
loose
my seed,
all
future
seed,
from all
evil,
all
Christ-hating
curses,
resulting
from my own
sins
and
the sins of my
forefathers
or
ancestors,
in
Jesus'
name.
Now, I'm going
to issue some
commands, and
this is a
deliverance ministers
conference, so
it would
be my,
and I'm
kind of cautious
about assuming
things, but it would
be my
understanding
that all of you
are
have been called
to the battle,
and
that
I don't
need to
tell you about
a lot
of the wiles of the
enemy when
it comes
to
setting the
captives
free, but
we do
realize that
many times
that
when
the
principalities
begin to
discharge
from our
physical
body,
that
there
is sometimes
some
air
or
coughing
or
even some
wretched
mucusness.
And then
there's
crying
out
and
a number
of things.
And
so
we
just
tend
to
ask
that
you
will remain
seated
if possible,
and
that
you
will,
we
have a
trained
staff here
to
assist.
And
I know
that
we're probably
not
going to
need
them
this
morning,
but
just in
case
the
Father
desires
that
we
need
them,
that
we do
have
those
there.
So I'm
going to
take
authority
over the
enemy.
Just
ask
that you
agree
with me
and
pray that
you
won't
speak
out
and
pray
aloud
at this time
so
that
we
won't
distract
the
work
of
the Father
with
commanding
the spirits
to come
out of
the people.
And
also
that
many
times
if
we are
saying
praise
the name
of
the Lord
and
Jesus
and
stuff like
that,
many
times
since
they
come
out through
the air
passages,
coughing,
retching,
then
you
don't really
give them
a
doorway
to get out of
there.
They
hear
the word
Jesus
up there
in
the mouth.
They're gonna
buckle
down
in
the stomach
and hide.
Who would
want to
come through
that
power
if you're
on the
evil side,
you know?
And
so
anyway,
there,
we
ask
that you
just,
if you're
going to pray
in your
mind
and
just
agree.
And
we're
just going
to trust
the Lord
to
give us some
freedom
if we have
some
issues in our
life
that
are
rooted
in
passivity
and
slothfulness. Amen.
So
now,
in
the
name
of
Jesus,
I'm
taking
authority
right
now
for
my
spiritual
authority
in
the third
heaven,
where
I'm
seated
spiritually
with
Christ
Jesus
in heavenly
places,
far
above
all
principalities,
powers,
mights,
and dominion.
So
Satan,
I'm
attacking
you
from that
position
in
Jesus'
name,
over
everyone
named,
not only
in
this
world,
but
also
in
that
which
is to come,
according to
Ephesians
1:20.
Jesus
came
to
destroy
the works
of the
devil,
1
John 3:8,
and
he's given
us,
the believers,
that
very
same
power
and
authority.
Jesus
said
he
gave
us power
to tread
on serpents
and scorpions
and
over
all
the power
of the
enemy,
nothing
by
any
means
shall hurt
us.
Luke
10:19.
So
I now
exercise
that
power
and
authority
that
has
been
given
to us,
and
I come
against
you,
all
principalities,
by
the
blood
of the
Lamb,
the
name
of Jesus,
the
authority
of
the
believer,
the
unity
of
our spirits,
the
word
of God.
So
in
Jesus'
name
I bind
all
strong men,
all
of
the
commanders
of
the
legions,
the ruler
demons,
the lesser
demons,
the servant
demons,
all of
the
underlying
spirits,
all of
the
doorkeeper
demons
that
are
harassing
us,
keeping
us
in
bondage
to
passivity
and
slothfulness.
I bind
your
powers and
command
you foul
spirits
of
passivity
and
to line
up in
rank and
file,
from
the lowest
of command
to the
highest
command,
and start
leaving us
in
an orderly
fashion.
I
forbid
you
to
rent us.
In
Jesus'
name,
we
take
the sword
of
the
Spirit,
which
is
the
word
of God,
cut
and sever
every
spirit
in
the
family
of
passivity
from
Satan
and
from
one
another,
so
you
cannot
hang
on
to each
other
for
help,
comfort,
and
support.
I also
cut you
asunder
from
every
area
of
the
mind,
the
soul,
the
emotions,
from
all
five senses
we know
of
and
those
that are
unknown.
I cut
and sever
you
from all
the
muscles,
from
the
ligaments,
the
tendons,
the
nerves,
sinews,
tissues,
from
the
vertebrae,
from
the disc,
all
portions
of
the
spinal
cord
and
every
organ
and
limb.
I cut
it
out
in
Jesus'
name.
And
I wash
you
and purge
you
from
every
area
of our
bodies
with
the
blood
of Jesus.
I
also
sever
between
the conscious
and
the
unconscious
and
the
subconscious
mind
so
that all
things
of
the past
can
be released. I bind and stir up the power demons, the strong man of passivity, in every part of our mind, soul, and body. And I throw confusion and weakness in your ranks. I command every demon and the category of passivity and all of his underlying principalities to come out of darkness into light, according to 1 Corinthians 4:5. I forbid you to use any trickery, deceit, or mischief. I bind all spirits in the family of slothfulness, passivity, directly to the authority of Jesus Christ, his divine judgment. And in Jesus' name, I command every one of you to leave, along with all your memories, roots, scars, works, nests, and habits. I bind a strong man in Jesus' name. And as I call your name, you're going to come out of the people. You're going to go where Jesus tells you to go. Now, you principality of the unteachable demon, I command you to come out of us. You go in Jesus' name. Spirits of unstable, you come out of us. You go in Jesus' name. Spirits of defeatism, you go in Jesus' name. All the spirits of feeling unwanted, unloved, unskilled, unfaithful, unbelief, go in Jesus' name. Just all of those principalities, you go in Jesus' name. All of the spirits that work in pressure and heavy pressure, you go. You loose us in Jesus' name. Passivity over the body, the will, the emotions, all of you have to go in Jesus' name. The spirit of Pharaoh, the demon of bondage, Pharaoh, you come out of us, you go in Jesus' name. The demon of greed, you go in Jesus' name. Covetousness, come out of hoarding, you go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. Spirits of grief, you come out of us. All of the split personality spirits, all of the personality spirits of every one of them, bipolar and dementia, just all of the personality spirits, you come out of there in Jesus' name. AD&D, attention deficit disorders, all of the personality spirits, you come out of there. You passive demon, you get out of there. You come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Sorrow, separation, come out of there. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Spirits of tormented, tortured, you come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there. All spirits of unforgiveness, we judge and we become who we judged. And in our unforgiveness, passivity has come in and taken a hold of us. So you come out of there in Jesus' name. Spirits of fear, come out. All fear, go in Jesus' name. Fear of man, fear of rejection, all of the fears. Fear of confrontation, go in the name of the Lord. Fear of work, you go in Jesus' name. All of the failure spirits, all failure, you come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Refuse to work. You go in Jesus' name. It seems it was a very common pattern when I was coming up getting saved in the spirit movement amongst all the people I was around. It seemed to be quite a number, an over average number of people, was their main goal was to leave the workforce so they could do the work of God. And I found that the greatest work that I've done that parallels the ministry of deliverance is to be able to witness on the job. So we just have a number of people that's pastors all over the cities right now, less than 3 years experience in the field. I call the field the war. So they go to a little Bible school, and somebody let them come up there and take over. They had no experience. So watch that. I've had to work with a lot of people, and I saw it starting to manifest in the early years. When they first get saved, they just don't want to do nothing but stay up all night and fast, you know, so you lose the desire to go to work. But that's the time you need to step up to the plate and teach them accountability. Okay. All right. Spirits of fatigue, you come out of there in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Come out. All the spirits that lack business ability, go in Jesus' name. Well, I don't do nothing like that. I just leave it up to John. Well, I leave it up to Mary. She does all that. Well, if it's your business, you need to be knowing what's going on. My wife and I, we have a little something on the side, nothing to brag about but Jesus, but we into it together. It's like house design, you know, what they call flipping houses. Well, we in there doing it. I'm just going to say we doing it like that, you know. Anyway, what do you think we ought to do? I don't. That's too much money. So we do it together. Okay. Well, anyway. And it's really done a lot of ministry to both of us. It's taught us a lot about what we like and what we don't like. I mean, 20 years late, but
never late.
Okay, all right. All spirits of block inheritance, you come out in Jesus' name. Block inheritance, you go in Jesus' name. Spirits of destruction, go in Jesus' name. Spirits of despair, you come out of us in Jesus' name. Depression, discouragement, discouraged life, discouraged job, discouraged ministry, discouraged spouse, come out of us. All these discouraged spirits, you go in Jesus' name. People, I'm telling you, I had all of this. You're very fortunate you missed that. Spirits of denial, you go in Jesus' name. Spirits of denial, you go in Jesus' name. Anti-discipline spirits, you come out. You go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. You know, you really know where you're at. We got about 10 minutes, and I'm almost finished with the deliverance list. You'll get your freedom. You'll know it when you're in the airport and somebody slams your chains down and you don't respond. You say, free, God, I'm free. So we're not looking for a lot of manifestation in this type of message, but You know, when you're dealing with the discipline, when somebody does something to you and they miss the mark totally, I mean, they just ran over your parade big time, and you don't do nothing but have love for them, because you say, I'm not really like that. It's like I went to my room last night, and I'm praying, and the Lord had me praying, breaking soul ties. I said, I know I told Chris, I called him Steve again. I said, but this time I'm dealing with it. This time I'm trying to get free. I don't know if I did or not, but I went back to my room. I said, I think I called him Steve again. His name is not Steve. It's a soul tie I had with somebody that I was very close with him in the military, named Steve. And so I had to say, Lord, what's going on? He said, you had a soul tie with somebody that was a friend of yours like him. I said, okay. Whoa. I said, well, now I'm dealing with it. So at least I'm dealing with it. But you know, when leadership tells you something, it doesn't have to, you don't have to agree with it. I mean, there's so much to this, to passivity. It's so much. The passive individual can have authority but no responsibility. Be told to cut the grass, be responsible, be delegated the authority, take care of the grounds out of the church, but never catch the leaky faucets. Never know when the air conditioner is freezing up outside. Or we like that in our ministry.
Well, I agree with this, but I don't believe in time.
I'll go along with that, but I don't believe in fast. What's your belief got to do with it anyway? What about God? What's God going to have something to say? I had a lot of that, what I believe in me, because I had a lot of I-ism in me. You know, God's delivering us from self, right? The kingdom of self. Great book. Read it about 20 years ago. I don't know if anybody ever seen that old book. Kingdom of self. Started out as a baby. Give me this. Okay, here, take it. Just shut up. But anyway, you'd have thought I got delivered a lot quicker than I did after all I knew, especially growing up. Spirits of anxiety associated with passivity, the impatience, the anxiety. You come out of us, anxious spirits. You just go in Jesus' name. Heaviness, humiliation, you go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. Insanity, you go in Jesus' name. Isolation, come out, you go in Jesus' name. Idleness, I'm just waiting on the Lord to tell me what to do next. Well, my pastor used to tell me when I asked him, I said, well, Pastor, I think I want to go try to do this. He said, well, Jim, you studied out, you thought it out, said, and prayed about it. I said, well, yes, sir. He said, well, you go ahead and do that. But then if it don't work, then you just find where the Lord wants you to go from there and pick up and start over again.
Amen.
But now we get devastated. We backslide about 6 weeks. Spirits of irritating, you go in Jesus' name. Spirits of irritating, indifferent, come out of us. Inferiority, you come out of us in Jesus' name. Insecurity, you go in Jesus' name. Spirits of confusion, you go in Jesus' name. Spirits of rebellion, you go in Jesus' name. We're not going to be rebellious to God's delegated authorities or God's authority figures in the land. We're not going to be rebellious against them. We're not going to speak against the ruler of our people. A bird of air is going to go tell it, even your supervisor. It happened to me. It happened to me. I know nobody told him. I'm telling you, people, this is real. God's word is real. Spirits right now of Leviathan, you go in Jesus' name. Leviathan, you come out of us. All the religious spirits, you go. All of the unclean spirits, go. Conceited spirits, go. Spirits of void of understanding. I started working on that about a couple of years ago. It was easy for me to deliver a message, but it was very difficult sometimes for me. Well, anyways, receiving a message was easy, but listening to what people had to say was difficult. And I didn't catch it one day. I think Jared was teaching or something, then I caught it. Because, of course, I heard it from my wife for years. It didn't matter then, you know. It didn't,
yeah.
Ding. It didn't really. So I had to listen to somebody else tell me. So now I take my time. I try to listen to what people say. Sometimes you'll see me lean over and stuff because I know I'm teaching myself how to listen. And I don't know. I don't do so good. So I'm working on that issue. I think I should have spent a year working on that since last year here. But anyway, hopefully I've matured so much more in that. We can't just let things go and become passive about it when God identifies a certain nature or characteristic that's contrary to Him. We need to do something about it. We don't just need to say, well, I just blew that. I misunderstood. No, do something about it. Do something about it. It doesn't matter if the person ever know you did something about it, but you do something about it unto God. Okay. Spirits of senseless excuses. All the senseless excuses. It's after dark. I don't drive. It's raining. I'm going to catch a cold. I mean, passive about accepting God's provision and protection. Come out of us in Jesus' name. All these senseless excuses. Come out. Then the passionate passivity of wishful thinkers. Come out in Jesus' name. Then lust and the busybodies associated with the slowful and the passive. All the spirits of troubles and careless and yokes. All the yokes with passivity around our necks. I just break those yokes in the name of Jesus. I just break them off of us in the name of Jesus. And just receive the yoke of Jesus. The spirits of worry, come out of us. Burden, broken spirit, wounded spirit. Spirits of depression, you loose us in Jesus' name. Spirits of frustration, loneliness, all lazy spirits. Lazy spirits, you go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. Sometimes we have a work of the flesh that we're working with. We're asking God to work with us, but we don't want to work with God.
It could be something as something like maybe tobacco or something, any number of other things that we might be dealing with. And we are lazy about it. It's because we haven't really dealt with the fact that we're real passive towards God's commandments on dealing with the flesh. You know, we ought to crucify the flesh, and you can't cast out the flesh. Demons have to be cast out, and the flesh have to be crucified. You have a responsibility to be accountable to God. And you need to understand that some of your deliverance will come by you confessing your faults one to another. Some of the most intimate, most difficult things in my life I've had to share with leadership and trust them in my secret.
Right.
I don't know if it's secret, but in my intimacy on something that I need to share that I had a problem with or had a problem with maybe years ago, even before or after salvation. I remember one year Chris had the people to come together. Oh boy, he goes, this one, now you know, I know you're not going to love me after this one. And so he said, all right, Brother Jim, I want you over one of the groups and all y'all get together, you men, and whatever you have that is really back there hidden and you really want to deal with, this is the time for us to put it out on the table and leave it here. So I sat down there, and the Lord told them to tell them about something I did. And I said, oh, my God. About 3 months when I hadn't been saved but a couple of months, and I committed a very difficult crime, a financial crime, running into the thousands of dollars, a mismanagement or something to that nature. Anyway, I'm not to share it with you because we had a promissory agreement to leave it there at that time. So then if I open it up, I'll open up everybody else's. And all I can say, it was something that I had dealt with over the years. And then the Lord told me a year before, go to your pastor and tell him what you did, because you've dealt with it years ago. But just go to him, let him know what you did in your infancy when you got saved. And so then I said, well, how am I going to do that, Brother Dean? Can't y'all hear what I'm saying? That's what I thought. I said, we can't hear what I'm saying. There's not going to be any interaction. I said, I don't have anybody I can share it with. So when I get here at the camp, then he, I'm not even thinking about it, right? Then he says, you're going to do it today. That's what my disobedience was. I was passive about going to my pastor, and God told me, tell your pastor what you did 20 years ago. And so he made me do it in front of several people that I did not know. Now, some of them might be here today. Some of them might remember. It was dealing with thousands of dollars. Okay. Anyway, I did it. It changed my life. I've had more than that in the bank in the last 2 years. I mean, loose cash funds and investments and everything else, even though we're still having some trouble with contractors getting to do work on the buildings and stuff. It hadn't been in many cases because of the finances. But this prosperity didn't start until I dealt with that. Yeah. Okay. So we need mentors. We need a mentor. Spiritual voice. Okay. Spirits of great wasters, come out of us. All you can eat, come out in Jesus' name. Great wasters, come out of there in Jesus' name. Weak will, forgetfulness, come out. Passive people be forgetful. They forget how to drive. They are dry. They say, I don't want to drive there. I forgot how to get there. You say, well, it's just 5 blocks to the right. I don't want to. Come get me. All right. Spirits of selfishness, come out. Narrow-mindedness, mischievousness, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of the laborer, spirits of tardiness, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of over-exaltation, go in Jesus' name. Overtired. Spirits of witchcraft, spirits of spiritual fornication, spirits of spiritual adultery, all demons of independence, you leave us right now. You go in Jesus' name. The Lord has delivered us. You go, all pastor-hating spirits, man-hating spirits, women-hating spirits, all God-hating spirits, you go in Jesus' name. Come out of there. All commandment rejectors, you go in Jesus' name. Come out, the spirits of slothfulness, spirits of anti-submissiveness, spirits of anti-submission, demon of passivity, I command you to come out of us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command you to go. Now, every one of you principalities, named and not named, but all in the family of these principalities I have named in the name of Jesus, you have no place or right in our lives. We are people that are accountable to our high priest, Jesus Christ. So you have no legal right. And Father, I thank you right now that the congregation of the Lord, Father, has an equal share, an equal measure, Father, of accountability, authority, responsibility, and ability in our lives. And an equal measure, and that we are obedient, and we are obedient to our great high priest, Lord Jesus Christ. We are obedient to God's commandments pertaining to the governing authorities in our land. And Father, we will be obedient to authority. And Lord, I thank you that the enemy has no right over us. We are not an independent bunch. We are not loners. But Lord God, we are children of the Most High. So Lord, I just pray now that you will send your ministering angels. Those ministering angels will gather all remaining principalities and powers and send them to where you dispose of them. Father, in the name of Jesus, will you please stand? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I close all the doorways where this principality has had access to our life. I come against prenatal rejection.
rejection after doing conception, rejection after conception, everywhere where passivity and slothfulness was introduced into us, before conception, in the womb, and after birth. I break its power from then all the way up to salvation. All the passivity and slothful spirits that was part of our lifestyle, part of our life while before we were saved, I arrest you in the name of Jesus. I command you to go in Jesus' name with the badge of authority as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command all passivity spirits that enter through passive surrender, the false doctrines of not to use our faculties, to surrender our will. The devil is a lie. I rebuke that demon in the name of the Lord. We just close those doors right now. We cover those doors with the blood of the Lamb. With the blood of Jesus Christ, we just cover those doors right now. And passivity and independence and slothfulness and anti-submissiveness has no place in us, no part in us. And when he comes to visit us, he will see what he saw in Jesus. He has no place in me and no place in my life. So, Father, I bless the congregation of the Lord. I thank you that the congregation of the Lord is a congregation that is fruitful. Father, I thank you right now for your blessings of the congregation of the Lord, that we are the obedient and that we will obey. And, Father, that we shall see your destinies fulfilled in our lives, that we will meet the destinies you've given us. We shall fulfill our missions and our commissions. And I pray for the congregation, Father, in Jesus' name, as we are restored and we are delivered from the spirits of passivity, slothfulness, anti-submissiveness, because we choose to obey. In Jesus' mighty name, may God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.